The Essene Lineage in California, Carmelites and Rosicrucians at Carmel in 1602, by Richard A. Schultz, Ph.D., FRC. H. Spencer Lewis writes in The Mystery of the Essenes that the Master Jesus was trained at the Major Essene School established on Mount Carmel on the northwestern coast of today's Israel. This was one of the most important and influential of the Essene establishments. After the Jewish revolt in 66 CE, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden at Qumran, and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 CE, external Essene activity began to be curtailed, and the tradition was transmitted under many forms. Two of the clearest manifestations of the Essene lineage may be found in the Rosicrucian tradition and the Carmelite order, continuing the mysteries of the Essene school at Mount Carmel. The Rosicrucian tradition has faithfully transmitted the Essene healing techniques across the centuries, as well as the sense of the egregore and of the unity between mystical meditation and an ethical life, for the betterment of the community and the planet. In the 12th century, the hermits, monks, and mystics who still lived and worked on Mount Carmel formalized their community as the Carmelite order within the Roman Catholic Church. They were also in clear continuity with the Essene traditions, including mystical prayer, vegetarianism, common holding of all property, simplicity of life, and manual labor to support the community. This Essene movement spread rapidly throughout the Middle East and Western Europe, and included many mystics traditionally associated with the Rose-Croix path, notably Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross in the 16th century. Both the Rosicrucian tradition and the Carmelites expanded the role of women in the earlier Essene movement to full membership. This is the story of how representatives of these two strains of the Essene heritage, Rosicrucian explorers and discalced or shoeless Carmelite friars, landed in Monterey Bay in 1602. Through no coincidence, the river and valley were named Carmel. Connected with this great mystical school, this became the first Rosicrucian mission to North America, bringing the Essene tradition to the shores of Alta California through the two filiations.
In many of the writings of H. Spencer Lewis, references are made to an early Rosicrucian presence in California during the earliest years of the 17th century. For example, in The Light of Egypt, a document written for the public in 1927 is a section entitled America's First Rosicrucians. It states that the first Rosicrucians to come to America and bring their wisdom to this country were those who journeyed to the Pacific coast early in the 17th century and deposited there the foundation stone and documents of the last CRC of Europe. Still earlier, a poem called To the Temple of Alden was published in the Order's magazine in 1920. It also notes that the temple was established on the California coast in 1603. In the book Lemuria, the Lost Continent of the Pacific, the writer relates, "Not far from San Jose and just across a little mountain range called the Santa Cruz Mountains is a small peninsula which stands unique in romantic religious history. For here is the Mountain of Carmel, the Valley of Carmel, and the Carmel River. The Carmelites who came here and established a monastery were acquainted with this particular locality long before Vizcaíno made his expeditions and brought scientists, padres, and some Rosicrucian mystics to this region to unite their efforts in further forwarding the settlement and civilization of the Carmel and Santa Clara Valleys. It was for this reason that the mystic descendants of an early mystery school located in Carmel of the East desired to accompany the expedition to the New World, and named the goal of their expedition Carmel long before they reached its shores, for the establishment of the first Rosicrucian temple on the Pacific shores, equaling a similar foundation laid by Rosicrucian pilgrims in 1694 on the eastern shore in what is now known as the city of Philadelphia. Several decades later, former Imperator Ralph M. Lewis writes about this topic in his biography of his father, H. Spencer Lewis. There was still another factor, a romantic one, which weighed heavily in the decision to make the move of the Order's headquarters from New York to San Francisco. In the 17th century, the first Europeans explored the Pacific coast of California. There were Rosicrucians among their number. In Carmel, near Monterey, California, not far from the still existing mission of Spanish Padres, was built the first Rosicrucian Temple of Walden in America, the rooms of which remained for some time, but were not generally known by the local populace as having a Rosicrucian origin. To the Rosicrucian historians who had the opportunity of viewing these rooms before the property was converted to other use, there were evident signs of its early function. H. Spencer Lewis was well acquainted with these facts. There was then the strong appeal to rebuild the See of the Order in that traditional area, California. As H. Spencer Lewis further relates, San Francisco was not our objective, but California was. The Temple of Walden had been built by the first visitors to the Pacific coast who built many permanent foundations. The Valley of Carmel was the first Rosicrucian settlement on the Pacific coast. Carmel was so named after Mount Carmel in Palestine, where the Rosicrucian and Essene settlement existed so long. Although little mention is made today of a Rosicrucian presence in California during the 17th century, confirmation of H. Spencer Lewis's writings is contained in the archives of the Order, from which some of the information presented here in today's podcast is derived. The original Mount Carmel is part of a mountain range along the Mediterranean coast of present-day northwest Israel, west of the Sea of Galilee, approximately 14 miles long and reaching an elevation of 1,791 feet. The range is composed of limestone and dolomite rock, with numerous caves and abundant vegetation, such as vineyards, due to the favorable climate and rainfall, making it a noted and persistent oasis in the region. The range has been occupied since Lower Paleolithic times, with sites such as Tabun Cave preserving evidence of occupation from at least 750,000 years ago. Tabun Cave also demonstrates coexistence of Neanderthal and anatomically modern humans some 100,000 years ago, with burial artifacts suggesting that religious rituals were in existence from at least that time. Evidence unearthed at Mount Carmel Caves records the progression from nomadic hunter-gatherer groups to more stationary agrarian societies in that area. The range has been considered sacred since at least 1500 BCE, according to geographical lists found at the Egyptian temple complex of Karnak. According to historical sources, the northern branch of the Essene Brotherhood, called the Nazareans, established its temple and main school at Mount Carmel. The southern branch occupied at least six sites around the Dead Sea, in present-day West Bank, including Qumran, En Gedi, and part of Old Jerusalem. Essene activity in the region diversified and expanded greatly from its initial center En Gedi after the complex at Mount Carmel was established. Excavations in 1958 revealed what is now accepted as the altar and cave where the Hebrew prophet Elijah lived and worked around 900 BCE. Rosicrucian writings by H. Spencer Lewis indicate that Elijah was also an Essene. Jesus and his family are considered to have been Nazarene Essenes, while John the Baptist was an Essene from Qumran. Recent scholarly research indicates that Qumran was a center for medicine and healing, at which both the northern branch of Essenes at Mount Carmel and the Therapeutae in northern Egypt also excelled. History records that Pythagoras, the Greek philosopher and mathematician, visited Mount Carmel about 535 BC and studied there on his way to Egypt before establishing his school at Crotone, southeast Italy, after 518 BC. Pythagoras shared many attributes with the Essenes, including their mode of dress, such as white robes, long hair, vegetarianism, nonviolence to living creatures, and certain mystical practices. Most likely, the many differences in living habits, texts, and rituals between both groups of Essenes and the Therapeutae indicate regional adaptations and individualized explorations of a common mystical philosophy. An Essene presence in either region is difficult to trace after the time of the First Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 73 CE. Many Essenes were believed to have been killed during the war, and the related destruction of Jerusalem and many Essene sites, including Qumran, in 70, which coincided with the sequestration of the Dead Sea Scrolls in the 11 caves near Qumran. The systematic shutdown of Egyptian and other pagan sites by Theophilus, Bishop of Alexandria, in about 391 likely completed the abandonment of Essene sites such as Mount Carmel. Roman rule of the region lasted until its conquest by the Persians in 614, and then by the Arabs in 640. The series of crusades to this region from 1095 to 1292 brought, among other things, a resurgence of trade and a diffusion of Arab learning to Europe. The Carmelite Order of the Roman Catholic Church was established at Mount Carmel in about 1155, tracing its inspiration to Elijah and later inhabitants there. In 1238, this group relocated to Cyprus and Sicily, and then moved on to England and France a few years later. Some of the early Carmelite practices resembled those of the Essenes, such as vegetarianism, contemplation and prayer, and communal property. A central focus of the Essenes on healthy living and harmony between the body, soul, and spirit underlies the teachings of the Rosicrucian Order Amorque today. The century following Christopher Columbus's first voyage to North America was a time of vigorous exploration and exploitation of the new lands of the Western Hemisphere. Balboa's discovery of the Pacific Ocean in 1513 was followed, about a decade later, with the establishment of Acapulco as the principal port of New Spain. In conjunction with expansion of Spanish explorations into Baja California and the American Southwest, the discovery of untapped resources of high-quality pearls in the Gulf of California in late 1533 led to extensive commercial exploitation of this lucrative gemstone. The expedition of Cabrillo was the first to clearly map much of the coast of California. Launched on June 27, 1542 from Puerto de Navidad in Mexico, his two small, poorly built ships discovered San Diego Bay and Cape Mendocino, and may have reached Oregon before turning south for home. Storms on their northward journey between November 11th and 14th kept the ships at sea, beyond sight of land, so they sailed past Drake's Bay, Half Moon Bay, and San Francisco Bay. On November 16th, Cabrillo anchored but did not make landfall due to heavy seas in Monterey Bay. 2 days later, they described Cape San Martin and Big Sur, California. During the course of the next 40 years, with the California coast considered by Spain to be sufficiently well known, the focus in Spanish cartography and exploration shifted to the Philippines and other lands of the Western Pacific. Expeditions were launched from Acapulco to the Philippines, China, and Japan, with regular commercial service by the Manila galleons between Mexico and the Philippines beginning in 1565. The Manila galleons carried gemstones and silver from Mexico to trade for spices, such as clove, nutmeg, and mace, from Indonesia and southern Philippines. Porcelain, ivory, lacquered items, and processed silk from China, and other items from Japan, providing income for Spanish colonists living in Manila, as well as substantial income for the Spanish crown from the treasure fleets that sailed across the Atlantic Ocean back to Spain. This lucrative commercial trade made the safety and efficiency of trans-Pacific shipping of major importance to Spain throughout the remainder of the century. Although the outbound journey from Acapulco to Manila took 3 to 4 months, the return voyage of fully loaded ships by way of Japan to Acapulco required a longer journey, typically taking from early July through late January or early February. The crews on the return voyage contended with high seas, storms, and poor nutrition for more than 7 months. Exhaustion was common by the time the ships reached North America, so finding a port in California became desirable for both ship repairs and crew rehabilitation. Following the successful raids on Spanish shipping by the Englishman Francis Drake in 1579, and Thomas Cavendish in 1588. Protection of trans-Pacific shipping from foreign attacks motivated a renewed effort to map the California coast to find safe havens for the returning Spanish ships. Charting the foggy and dangerous California coast again became an official priority in January 1593. The second attempted exploration of this series, commanded by the experienced Portuguese Sebastian Cermenho, sailed from Manila in July of the following year, eventually reaching Cape Mendocino in early November. After anchoring in Drake's Bay north of San Francisco, Cermenho passed Monterey Bay on December 10th. Because this voyage used a galleon loaded with commercial cargo, the expedition was ill-suited for coastal mapping and exploration. The loss of the main ship in Drake's Bay during the voyage, with its valuable cargo and many crew members, prompted a decision in September 1599 to send more appropriate ships directly north along the coast from Acapulco. These expeditions were also ordered to prepare fresh maps of the coast without referring to those of previous voyages. Vizcaíno's expedition of 1602 to 1603 was the result. In contrast to the well-known geography of the east coast of North America and its interior, maps of the Pacific coast during the 1500s were vague and fanciful, with many maps representing the coast as collections of islands. This conception that California was an island, bordered to the north by a waterway that would lead back to the Atlantic Ocean, called the Northwest Passage or Strait of Anian, persisted through publication of the Mercator World Map in 1569. That otherwise presented North America reasonably well as a contiguous, if distorted, landmass. The continuity of California with the rest of the continent to the east was conclusively proved only by the overland expedition of De Anza from Tubac, located south of Tucson, Arizona, to Monterey in 1774. Chartered by the Viceroy for New Spain, the Count of Monterey, under orders of King Philip III of Spain, the Basque merchant and explorer Sebastian Vizcaíno set sail in 3 well-built ships and a longboat from Acapulco on Sunday, May 5th, 1602, under the divine protection of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Vizcaíno's voyage and the surrounding events are generally well documented. The expedition included Vizcaíno, his son Juan, 14 ship's officers, 126 to 150 soldiers and sailors, and 3 friars of the discalced or shoeless Carmelite order, for a total of 145 to 169 people. However, there is some ambiguity in the total number of people who embarked on the voyage. Vizcaíno gives a value in his diary of 126 soldiers, for a total of 145 persons, whereas the detailed account of the voyage by Father Antonio de la Ascensión states that 200 soldiers were authorized and raised, increasing the total to 219. Father Ascensión's later report, dated 1620, however, lists 150 soldiers and a total of about 200 persons on the voyage, implying an additional 30 people beyond Vizcaíno and his crew. The purpose of Juan Vizcaíno on the voyage is not addressed in Vizcaíno's or Father Ascension's accounts, and it is likely that others not listed in the records, such as those suggested in Rosicrucian writings, were also on board. After 8 months at sea, Vizcaíno's ships entered Monterey Bay on the night of December 16, 1602. The bay was considered to be the fruit of their voyage, a resting place for ships returning from the Pacific Ocean. On the next day, Vizcaíno sent parties ashore near what is now Fisherman's Wharf in downtown Monterey to obtain water, food, wood, and an assessment of the resources and fertility of the land. On December 18th, following a mass held in a tent erected under a large oak tree, Vizcaíno and his officers decided to send one of their ships back to Acapulco with the most sick among them, along with copies of the maps and reports made during the voyage. This ship sailed on December 29th, during a time of deteriorating weather, increasing snow in the inland mountains, and freezing of freshwater streams near the shore. A party was sent on Wednesday, January 1st, 1603, to obtain fresh water from the Carmel River, 5 miles to the south, which was so named by Vizcaíno himself. The supplies were replenished late on January 3rd. On that final day, Vizcaíno and 11 others traveled overland from Monterey Bay to the Valley of Carmel. There, his party split into two, with 5 men sent to investigate a Native American village, leaving the remaining 7 people in the valley. All returned to Monterey Bay by nightfall on the 3rd. Vizcaíno and the remaining ships left Monterey Bay on Friday, January 3rd, heading north toward Cape Mendocino and then turning south to arrive at Mazatlan, Mexico on February 17th, 1603. A total of 18 days were spent in the Monterey Bay and Carmel areas. The location of Vizcaíno's landing site in southern Monterey Bay is marked today by a Celtic cross and a plaque near Lighthouse Avenue and Artillery Street. The mass was celebrated on a nearby hill in what is now Lower Presidio Historic Park. It is marked by a statue erected in 1891 commemorating Father Junipero Serra's later reoccupation of the site, along with several information plaques and a cross dating from 1770, marking the burial place of one of Father Serra's troops, Alexonino. The oak tree used as a canopy for both Vizcaíno's and Father Serra's masses stood until around 1900. Remains of the Serra oak are preserved at the San Carlos Cathedral in Monterey. Several sites in California are associated with these 17th century Rosicrucians. The first is the hill where Vizcaíno's party in 1602 celebrated their first mass. This site, now well marked and readily accessible, encourages contemplation and a profound respect for the arduous path taken by the earliest Rosicrucians to American shores. The second site, about 4 miles east of there along the southeast side of Monterey Bay, was later called Gray Eagle Terrace, or Old Terrace, in Seaside, California. Here was the site of the earliest Rosicrucian activity in America. It corresponds to the sacred burial place of the Native Americans referred to by H. Spencer Lewis, with an altar located in the center of 3 trees planted in a triangle. In the formative years of the order in America, 2 parcels of land in Gray Eagle Terrace were owned by Amorc from 1919 to 1924. The third site is adjacent to the present Carmel Mission in Carmel, California, founded in 1770 by Father Junipero Serra as the second California mission. This was likely the physical location of the Temple of Alden so often referred to in Rosicrucian writings and lore, established sometime after Vizcaíno left Monterey Bay, and said to have been occupied until about 1632. Once the mission relocated to the Carmel Valley in 1771, the initial structures were built of cedar and cypress logs planted vertically into the ground and topped by flat, dried mud roofs. In 1774, other structures were added, including a granary built partly of adobe brick and of logs topped by a straw roof, and other log buildings used as residences for skilled workers and their families. Around this time, a new adobe church was built, in which Father Serra and Crespi were buried. The present stone church was built atop this adobe church from 1793 to 1797. The extensive adobe brick ruins in front of the present church and its predecessor are said officially to mark the place of Father Serra's Spartan living quarters, although it is recorded that he lived in a hut, according to several reliable sources, including Juan Crespi's original and unedited journals. The adobe brick buildings adjacent to the church were in existence before 1800, although no records clearly indicate when or by whom they were built. They were later incorporated into a large quadrangle adjacent to the church building, which was added in 1814. H. Spencer Lewis explored the extensive adobe brick ruins near Carmel Mission since first visiting them in 1918. The records relate that he discovered several Rosicrucian artifacts there, including crosses with a rose worked in coral in the center. The original structure contained a temple room and an underground cellar in which several chests containing papers and other ritualistic materials were deposited, apparently by members of Vizcaíno's expedition who chose to stay behind in 1603. AMORC officers repeatedly visited and examined the Carmel site through the 1930s, ceasing after major restoration of the mission buildings had begun. The evidence suggests that the early Rosicrucian presence in California began with seven initiates who accompanied Vizcaíno's voyage to Monterey Bay. They then moved to Gray Eagle Terrace and, sometime later, moved farther south to establish the extensive complex in Carmel. The Carmel Temple complex would, by its sheer size alone, have served many more than seven people, and it may also have facilitated exploration further down the coast to Point Lobos and perhaps beyond. In the 20th century, these locations in the Monterey Bay area were considered by H. Spencer Lewis to be too remote from major population and transportation centers, so he chose San Jose, California, to become the site of Rosicrucian Park instead. Essenes from Qumran and Mount Carmel, along with the Therapeutae in Egypt and elsewhere, were masters in the arts of physical and mystical healing. This information and tradition form part of the Rosicrucian Order's teachings and heritage today. In a broad sense, the Rosicrucian Order AMORC may be considered to be an organization devoted to healing. Once the rift between the individual and the divine is healed, then social, political, religious, and intellectual rifts will be healed as a consequence. Because the activity in California during 1602 to 1603 was conducted in secrecy, the first documented Rosicrucian activity in North America was the expedition of Johannes Kelpius to Pennsylvania in 1694, which started the first public century of the order's activities in America. The activity associated with the Rosicrucians in California occurred at the same time as those in England, during the time of Queen Elizabeth I and Francis Bacon, yet started before the publication of the Rosicrucian manifestos in Germany between 1614 and 1616. The activities in France in 1623, and the general expansion of Rosicrucian and mystical thought that continued well into the 1700s. It also predated the first permanent settlements of Virginia and Massachusetts by the English in 1607 to 1620. The 1500s, before Vizcaíno's voyage, were a time of unprecedented upheaval in the fields of cosmology, religion, and politics, with millennialists such as Martin Luther and Simon Studian, author of the Neometria, expressing a view that was in keeping with the social and philosophical convulsions of the time when Rosicrucianism experienced a resurgence in Europe. The millennialist end-of-the-world view was also in vogue before Johannes Kelpius's voyage to establish Rosicrucian ideas in Philadelphia, and forebodings of similar upheavals in Western Europe formed the backdrop of H. Spencer Lewis's visit and Rosicrucian initiation in France in 1909. Far from being interpreted literally as the end of the physical world, however, these forebodings represent instead a broad and renewed mystical impulse to those who can hear it, to expand Rosicrucian and related activities. Vizcaíno's visit to California may also represent a mystical initiation for the order itself, with an initiatic filiation reaching back from European Rosicrucianism to the Essenes, the Greeks, and thence to the Egyptians. The seed planted by Vizcaíno, when activated by H. Spencer Lewis, May Banks Stacy, and their associates, produced the Rosicrucian order Amorque, in a significant departure from the necessarily cloaked and secretive ways of the past. The seeding of the order in Spanish California therefore represents the first steps toward the establishment of Francis Bacon's New Atlantis in North America, the land where the eagle spreads its wings, which created a nucleus for spreading the light from the west coast of the American continent that continues today. Please join me in a short meditation that will help us to better connect to the Rosicrucian explorers from that distant time. Please sit comfortably and relax. Close your eyes. Center yourselves mentally by taking three deep breaths through the nose. In, out, in, out, in, out. Feel yourself becoming relaxed, at ease, and at peace. In your mind's eye, visualize the world we live in, with all of its institutions, philosophies, and heredity from the past. Now, allow your mind to flow backward in time, touching on the many nations and cultures that have gone on before us. Relive the excitement and promise of the Renaissance, the age of exploration with Columbus and Magellan, to the time of Spanish exploration of California itself. Visualize the tall ships of Vizcaíno's expedition being loaded with provisions and being readied for their epic journey of exploration. see Sebastian Vizcaino himself going from ship to ship with his crew, making sure that all was ready for the trip. As you board the ship with the final officers and crew, you notice several others, largely ignored by the crew, who are loading their own crates onto the ships in preparation for the voyage. There appears to be nothing outstanding about these other passengers aside from their civilian attire, and you can't help but wonder why they are also joining us. But there is Juan and the three Carmelites, so we hoist the sails, raise anchor, and head out with the fleet on this beautiful spring day to sea and to the unknown. After more than 8 months of tedious work, mapping the foggy and dangerous coast, dealing with the persistent natives, constantly searching for wood and fresh water supplies, and seeing most of our officers and crew becoming sick to the point of death, we reach the bay that Vizcaino tells us is the objective of our long voyage. We drop anchor and stay in this place amid the snows and freezing winds of winter through Christmas Day and the New Year. At last, on January 3rd, we raise anchor for home. I can't but wonder about the fate of those brave souls we leave behind, although the captain reassures me that they will be picked up by the next ship from New Spain that anchors here. Now, take a deep breath, taking one last look back in your mind's eye to the band of seven Rosicrucians walking inland in Monterey. Travel back with me now, back the way you came, to this time, to where you are right now. Take a deep breath, open your eyes, and become aware of where you are, while remembering where you have been. May you ever feel the connection to that place in the past in California, to the place where Rosicrucians first brought their light to America. Thank you.